Rise on Cape Pulpit.
Good afternoon, family and friends, and once again, thank you for joining me, Renette, on Rise. My program is on 7 to 9 a.m., and we need to know that this is going to be such an inspirational interview this afternoon. I have got Gary Kisvetter from De Bruin from Willowbridge with us this afternoon, and we are going to have such a glorious time. As we know, this is one of the most beautiful times of the year, where we celebrate Christmas with our families and our friends, and this is a time where we really need to shift our focus, and it's a time of reconciliation, reconnecting, and being in a place where we are just going to be joyous and be there for each other. And we just want to encourage you this afternoon that we know that 2024 has been quite challenging for many of us, and but we are going to look back at it and then know how to step into it. And Gary has been with Willowbridge, has had Willowbridge, De Bruin in Willowbridge for the last 14 years. And, you know, he's had a huge impact in the ministries. And I just feel that he's got such a heart for the family. And he's going to share with us what the focus is for this year, that we, as we step into 2024, how do we celebrate this time together as a family? But we're first going to listen to, I'll be introducing you to him straight after this, but we're going to listen to Bobby van Jaarsveld saying thank you.
Rise on Cape Pulpit.
Good afternoon, family and friends, and that was Bobby van Jaarsveld with thank you. And we've got so much to be thankful for at this time of the year. And Gary Kisvetter, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon out of your busy schedule. I know you're on the move as well, but thank you. You're welcome to be here with us
today. It's such a privilege and an honor. Bless you.
Thank you so much. And, you know, Gary, you know, as I said, we've spoken in our break now about being at quite a difficult year, and your ministry is just booming at the moment with so many different aspects of life. It's so encouraging to hear that God has just got such purposes and plans still in place for, you know, even though things have been happening and we're feeling that the world is like falling apart and, you know, politics and Israel and all, you know, so much horrendous stuff has happened in this 2024, it feels like 2014. So Gary, you know, it's just so encouraging that God has got such amazing plans still. So this time of the year, as families, what would you like us to focus on, and who do we focus on, and how do we put this together after, you know, coming into this new season that we're going into?
Well, it's a good question. A good question deserves a good answer. And it's so wonderful to allow the Holy Spirit to tell us what's on his heart. So people today are more intellectual than willing to receive revelation knowledge from the Holy Spirit. Nothing of the flesh can reveal revelation knowledge. It's impossible. The flesh is at enmity with God. But what's beautiful is that God has set our country up for a move of God unprecedented in the world. It's been prophesied more than 50 years ago in many, many countries that in Cape Town, God's going to bring a move of God. Not because we deserve it, but God chooses where to visit. None of us pray a visit from God. Mm-hmm. None of us expect it. He decides. And when he visits his people, he reveals and unfolds his purposes for that time and that season.
Wow.
And we're on the brink of it. On the brink of it. Mm. So many churches today are more interested in intellectualism and reasoning and debating if God's word is relevant at any moment in time. Certain things should not be preached. But the Bible says we are to know and we are to live the whole counsel of God.
Yes.
And so what I'm seeing is that so many people are asking me these days, what day did Jesus get born on? I said, God, in his wisdom, didn't put the date there. Because religion will make of that date an idol.
Amen.
They'll form it with relics. They'll name saints after it.
Mm.
And they'll do all that because religion has no appetite, has no room, and has no heart for relationship with God. Because religion is run by tradition. And habits are like rabbits. They breed.
Mm.
But they do not bring forth the birthing of the truth.
Yes.
God hates religion. Religion. You see, often religious people and churches that love to portray religion, they want everything from God, but they don't want God.
They don't want to go that next step. They don't want God.
And you see, you everything from God is relational.
Exactly.
Everything from God's relational. When we yield ourselves to Him, we submit to Him, and we say to Him, Lord, whatever. I'm just a PVC pipe, a ventriloquist. Would you like to use me? Why? Because children of God want to please the Father.
Yes.
And you cannot please the Father without faith. So all those who come to God must believe who He is. And you see, religion and churches today that once preached the truth, but now have gone to compromise so that they're not offended when they preach.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said, it is necessary that offense comes. But woe to the man who brings offense. God's truth can never offend someone. God's love can never offend someone. It is when we deny the truth that we create a God of our imagination that's willing to serve us.
Sure. Conditional.
We are to serve God. What all churches in the world need today is to have a godly fear. God's fear protects His holiness. God's fear releases all the blessings.
Mm-hmm.
He's even called the fear of Jacob. So what we can talk about now is what I'm going to preach on Sunday.
Please do.
So what's ironical, I'm so happy to be here.
Oh, I'm so happy.
Because it's the first time in years that I'm hearing myself talk in English.
Oh, my goodness.
Can you believe
it? I've stretched you now.
You've stretched me. Look at my stretch marks. My wife's going to ask what happened to me. And you know, when I was 18 and I had an encounter with God and He called me. You see, no man determines his calling.
Mm.
Only God.
He sets the...
And God's calling
is
determined by His principles, by His values, by His word, and by His purpose. So a lot of people are self-called. But when God calls you, you pay the price for obedience. But obedience are the hinges of a door that open up all the blessings of God.
Mm.
See, the Bible says the sum of all things in the Bible is obey God and fear Him forever.
Amen.
Obedience causes God to smile and enlightens the universe. So I'd like to share with you something about what you wrote on the WhatsApp to me.
Yes.
And I asked God, what do you want me to, it's my last sermon this year. I said, what would you like to say to people? He said, I want my people to find hope.
Oh, yes, Lord. Well, you've encouraged me since the minute you walked in through that
I door. Said to him, how do you see hope?
Mm-hmm.
He said, hope is not an illusion. It's not a wish list. It's not something that you hype up. It's not something that you just kind of whip up like a salad. 1 Timothy 1:1 says, Jesus Christ, our hope. Hope is a person.
Yes, Lord.
Hope is God in the flesh. And the Bible says we have a hope that never we are ashamed of. We have a hope that we never disappointed in. So I would like to read something, if I may, and please, then you just stop me anytime you want
no,
to.
No, please go ahead.
It says in Hebrews 11:22, by faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel out of Egypt and gave them a command concerning his bones. And when I read it, I thought, wow, that's strange. You know, I was thinking of all the reasons that God had to say by faith Joseph, and He could have included, was not this. This is a bag of bones. Why would the Holy Spirit put that in, declaring that His greatest act of faith was on his deathbed, receiving a word of prophecy, declaring that when I die, take my bones with you to the promised land. That has been the hope of the entire Old Testament. As long as the bones of Joseph went with through Egypt, out of Egypt, through the sea, through the wilderness, into the promised land. That was the hope God gave the Old Testament prophets and people.
Wow.
Think of it. It's just bones. But God looks at things totally differently than we do. You see, we just think as bones. Mm. But God says it's what's in the bone, not the bones.
Yes.
You see, and then here in Genesis 50, verse 24, 25, it says, "And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God shall surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land that God swore to Abram, Isaac, and Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you. Carry up my bones from here till the promised land." I asked the Lord, I said, "Would you talk to me about the bones?" And the first scripture he brought to my mind is Hebrews 4:12. "For the word of God is alive and powerful and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, that divides between the spirit and the soul, the thoughts and intents of the heart, and between the bone and the bone marrow." Then the scripture came to my memory about Elisha that died, and the enemies were coming. The one got killed. He rolled down the sand and made contact with the dead bones of Elijah, and he rose from the dead. So I said, "Lord, what's going on here?" He said, "When you accept me as your Savior, my word enters your spirit, your soul, your conscious, your subconsciousness, every fiber of your being, your past, your present, your future, and it's nestled in bones, in the marrow." We have an English saying, "I feel it in my bones."
Yes. Why do we say that?
Because the dictionary definition for that is, when someone says, "I feel it in my bones," we're going to have a good outcome.
Yes.
In the company this year. We're going to have a great harvest. We're going to have a great summer. I feel it in my bones, right?
Yes.
People feel pain in the center of their bones.
That's true.
The pain can go so deep into your marrow of your bones.
Yes.
Disappointment, frustration, resentment.
Manifests.
Yeah. So the definition in the dictionary for, I can feel it in my bones, is believing something with so much hope and confidence without having the ability to know why.
Wow.
God's revelation is never a reason. It's a purpose.
Yes.
And think of it, that Joseph, on his last breath, preached about, "Take my bones into the promised land." And I never saw it up until yesterday, after all these years serving God.
Reading the same passage.
That it went through 400 years in Egypt.
Yes.
In a coffin. But what I love is, just for God's got a tremendous sense of humor.
Mm.
Well, he must have. Just look at the two of us.
Yes.
He's got to have a sense of humor. You know what I'm saying? That's why I really believe.
Like a full circle.
That's why I believe no one has to have a bad self-image. We create in his image.
Mm.
And what he can do with two eyes and nose, lips and ears.
It's amazing.
What he can do with fingerprints. He doesn't have to go to Ofbob to go and take existing fingerprints. Because even the snowflakes of billions of uncountable, no one has found two duplicate. Why? Yes. God's a creator.
Yes.
There's nothing boring about God.
Yes.
Isn't it amazing? There's nothing that
and
God has to repeat.
It's a continuous journey.
Absolutely. And so what I like about this is that just think God's sense of humor. So they put him in the coffin, they embalm him 40 days, and he stays there for the whole duration of 400 years. They pick him up, they go to the Red Sea, through the Red Sea, 40 years times two, because they were disobedient. They had to go through twice 40 years.
Yes.
Then in the promised land. And Joseph was prophesying that day by the Holy Spirit, "As long as my bones are being carried by you, you're carrying hope, because on my coffin, God has a label that no one can see. destined for the promised land.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. I do not want to lose this momentum. I think we need to take a music break and we can carry on with this. Gary, this has been so revolutionary. You will not believe what I think this message was just for me today, for us here at the radio. So I just want you, family and friends out there, just to be encouraged by this word. This is such a promise of God's destiny for us. Doesn't matter where we are in our lives, that He has a continuous purpose for us, and He reveals Himself, even like Gary said, after all these years, His word came alive yesterday. And this is the beautiful thing about His word. It just is alive, and it just moves with us wherever we are, and He reveals Himself at the times that we need. This needed to go out on air today. And for Him to have this revelation, I think we need to understand, we need to spend the time with Him in reverence and in holiness, and really have a reverence for His holiness. And we need to spend time in the Word. I think this is the time our holidays should be taken up by really asking Him to reveal Himself to us in through the Word. And so we're going to listen to While Shepherds Watched Their Flock by Andrew Peterson. We will be with you right after this.
Rise on Cape Pulpit.
Thank you so much for staying with us this afternoon. And wow, we are so privileged to have Gary Kiesvetter. He is just giving me the most incredible news about what God has got purposed and planned for them as a ministry for the new year. And I can tell you now, I am just literally sitting here with my heart is palpitating actually from joy and just so encouraged, because Cape Pulpit has also stepped into a new season of being on independent, and tell you now, we're in the starting block, but we are trusting, as He's just mentioned, we need to be obedient, which we did. We were obedient. Now we need to trust Him in this time for what He's got purposed and planned for us as well. So I just want to encourage you, family and friends. You know our new telephone number is 021-180-5744, and you're welcome to call us if you were interested in partnering with us or communicating in any way with us. Please do. Please do. We would really love to hear from you, and we want to build relationships with you as well. So, Gary, yes, this is now, I just want you to continue. I didn't want to lose what we were sharing before the break. Just tell me, what is it that the Lord has just encouraged you with about the trust, being obedient and trusting Him in these times? Because this is where I think we are so wounded, yeah, and so exasperated and exhausted. And like you said, we pray, we fast, we do everything that God has expected us from to do. But there are two simple instructions: being obedient and trusting.
Absolutely.
Just please, share with us.
Another statement. My mother, my wife, had an illness for 20 years in Pretoria. And God gave me a ministry where I had about 400 invitations a year throughout the country, all in Afrikaans, mainly in here churches and businesses. And God would somehow be pleased to use me to pray for the sick. Not everybody I pray for gets healed. A lot of people die.
Yes.
But it doesn't take away that God says, pray for the sick.
It's still in
pray for the broken marriages.
Yes.
You see, only God can do what you're asking Him to do.
That's correct.
But He still wants us to step out in faith.
Yes.
And trust Him. And faith without works is dead anyway. So a newspaper reporter came and said, Gary, how do you manage to travel? That's 13 services every week. How do you manage to do it? And I've done it for 21 years and you didn't burn out. I said, because God lit a flame in me and a fire that keeps on being fueled. So how do you fuel the fire of the Holy Spirit in you? He's the oil.
Yes.
At Pentecost, 120 people, men and women, praise and worship, waiting for the promise, yes, of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
The launching of the church.
Yes.
And the a mighty rushing wind and tongue of fire. And they separated and went to sit on each one's head. So what God's telling us, every flame had your name and it came to sit on your head. God has a specific blueprint for every individual that forms a puzzle with everybody. This thing that preachers think they're so powerful, they so this. The more God uses you, the more humble you become to serve.
Yes, Lord.
Serving may be the most unglamorous mantle you can have, like Hesse. That's the one that Jesus wore, his life on earth. It's not bling bling, it's not sparkle, it's not famous, it's not having bodyguards, it's not all this junk. It is absolutely saying, I'm your vessel, fill me.
Amen.
Use me for your glory.
Yes, Lord.
And so the woman said, I want to write an article about you guys. You must be going through a tough time. As she said it, God spoils me. So in my imagination, in front of me, I see T-O-U-G-H. And I'm looking at it. She's waiting for an answer. The greatest privilege God can ever give a Christian is to wait upon God. The greatest honor. He's never late. He's always on time. And I saw under each letter, TUF stands for trusting, obeying under great hindrances.
Wow. Yo, that is powerful.
You don't need to trust God. You don't need to have hope in God for what you already have. You are to hope and trust Him, not for what your greatest need is, but for what His greatest purpose in your life is, which will include your need. For God will in Christ supply all our needs through the richness of Christ. I just think that the time has come in South Africa. I injured my shoulder a bit. So there's a guy in our church that's a physio and a chiropractor.
Yes, yes, yes.
So while I'm waiting to go in the room just to have a bit of a massage, he's got a TV screen with ads coming on. And I look at that and I see this ad. The body is craving for alignment. For the body is not held up by muscles, but by the skeleton.
My goodness.
And I remembered now.
The bones.
The bones. That God would encourage me before I came here. You see, Joseph was 30 years old when he went into Egypt.
Yes.
For 80 years, he had the favor of the first Pharaoh.
That's right.
Became second in charge. That Pharaoh said, I can see the Spirit of God's upon you. Reconstructed the whole country to take them in another level of absolute excellence and prosperity.
Yes.
The favor of the culture was on the Jews. 70 people, 400 years later, over 2 million. When Jacob died, he said the same words as Joseph, his son. He said, when I'm about to die, do not bury me in this land. Take me to Melpechek in Canaan, where Abram, Isaac, and their wives, and my wife is buried. Take me there. So, one, Jacob was going to be taken out as he died. Joseph was going to be taken out. And years and years and years and years, hundreds of years later, both went into the promised land.
Praise the Lord.
So God says, in life there's hope. In death there's hope. In having a struggle in life. You see, struggle to God is the greatest sign of faith in Him.
Yes.
Because struggle is saying to God, I have a stubborn spirit. I won't give up. I will trust you. You're my Father. You know what? This has got nothing to do with what we're talking now. May I say something?
Of course.
On the 11th of August, I was told by physicians that I'll die by tomorrow.
No, Gary.
Yes. Since I married my wife, 1982, every single night, 20 minutes after I fall asleep, I'd sleep apnea for 30 years where you stop breathing.
I know. I've got
and you, family you jump up.
Yes.
Well, you can die.
It is the most dangerous thing to go through.
And I dreamt the same dream. I'm swallowing bolts and metal. So I would go to the basin and wanting to throw up, not knowing that I was beginning to activate the rarest form of danger in a throat. One in a million, get it? No. Diverticulum. There's a pouch behind your throat.
Yes.
That in case the food goes wrongly, it'll go into your windpipe. It'll go into
yes,
your windpipe.
And you check.
So there's a little bag at the bottom, at the back, that it can go in, that you can regurgitate it.
Yes, and that can kill you. Because you're
and that grew so big, it filled the whole cavity of my chest.
No.
So 2 years ago, I went to have an operation through my mouth.
Mm.
Only one doctor in the Southern Hemisphere could do it, in Somerset.
Yes.
And when he cut it, everything went wrong. The instrument slipped.
No.
I bled for 3 days. And for 2 years, I was dehydrating. I ate from 6 o'clock in the morning till 12 o'clock at night, nonstop. I threw up everywhere, on curtains, everywhere in the house.
I cannot believe.
I fell to 65 Ks.
Yes.
And I was traveling, I was 95.
Yes.
So 65.
You were wondering why have you lost so much weight.
65.
I couldn't
swallow. And so we try to phone him and say, is there another way that you can operate on me? Well, he thought, because things went wrong, that I would go and report him.
Yes.
But I would never do that, because a doctor's trying to help. He's trying
exactly.
his best. They're not doing things on purposely
of
wrong.
Of course not, yeah.
In life, things go wrong. And so, the 2nd of August, I wake up, and my tongue is stuck to the side of my mouth. And I feel something come up in my throat, and I asked my wife to look. And my epiglottis was
yes.
swollen and came up. So we helped to get it down. And I'm laying there, and I lifted up my legs, and all I had was my bone. There was no muscle tissue whatsoever. Under my ribs, I could have put my two hands up until my wrist inside. And I said to God, I've known you since a child. You've been my life. You've given me the best wife I could have. You gave me children, beautiful children. I've got 8 granddaughters, all drama queens.
Yes.
Love it.
Beautiful.
You've given me a ministry. I never had to ask for or send money. God bless me. Why? Because God finances his own projects.
Yes.
People keep on saying to me, Gary, you've got great faith. I said, no, I serve a rich Jew. Mm. Jews don't battle with finances.
Praise the Lord.
Not
That's
at all.
New take.
All right. Jesus said, you'll have no lack.
Amen.
If you trust him.
If I trust him.
And so, my wife says to me, Lovey, you look like you're dying. I could hardly stand. And then I received 3 WhatsApps and 2 emails from prophets saying to me, I'm going to die because I'm not doing this right. I'm disappointing God. God has run out of patience with me. I read that. Now I'm crying. When you lay on your head at the back,
and you
the
know
tears run into you.
Terrible thing.
And I said to God, Lord, I want to die. I want to come now, and I want to tell you, when I meet you in heaven, I'm going to run you off your feet, and I'm going to kiss your feet, because you walked to the cross so that I can walk to your throne.
Yes.
All I want in heaven is to kiss your feet, to say thank you. And so that morning she phoned my daughter, said, listen, we've got to get someone. She Googled all over the world.
Yes.
There's no such operation. Because this thing was so large, it was pushing my lungs and my heart back. And so my daughter phoned a lady who assists this one doctor in Panorama. He's one of the best oncologists in
yes,
the world.
Yes.
But he's also a risk taker.
Okay, so
he's a cowboy.
He prays
that God will send him people
that's
operations never worked.
Map stuff.
And he'll redo it. So he's so fully booked, but he said, I can come tomorrow. It was the 4th. I went. The 3rd. When I got in his surgery, he said, hi, Gary, how are you? I said, how do you know my name? He said, I'm in your church. I said, you what? But because I never met him, I could not recognize him. So these are his words to me with my wife. He said, Gary, you're on the slope of death. Mm. If I operate you now, you'll die. You will not be able to take anesthetic. your body has devoured itself. It's gone to your brain and your heart. So he took me for a scan to see how much, when this big thing fills up, how much goes over into my stomach. I drank 4 big jugs. And the radiologist, when I took the last sip and it started just going over, I choked, it went in my lungs. It's happened often. It feels your head explode. It feels like your eyes pop out.
So much.
Yeah, but you know what? You have to go through something to go into what God has prepared you for before you're born. There's no shortcut. No one goes out of Egypt in the promised land. You go into the wilderness. Why? To trust God.
Amen.
To trust Him. You see, He makes the promise in bondage. He wants you to hold on to the promise and declare the promise in the wilderness. And in the promised land, He wants you to possess it.
Yes, Lord.
There's no shortcut.
No shortcut. Praise the Lord.
No shortcut to God.
No shortcut. Oh, you've encouraged me.
And so, He operates on me. He had to cut open. Mm. He took the whole bag out. He went through my whole esophagus. Because by throwing up all the time and choking,
yes, it was
the muscles constricted my eyes. And the day I went in before, when he went through in my nose to look, my whole esophagus was shut. He couldn't even get a feeding tube of 3 mL through it.
All your everything
shut down. Everything shut down.
Oh my goodness, Gary.
God's timing and God's purposes never, ever has anything to do with us.
Yes, Lord.
He chooses the timing and He chooses the purpose. And He's always right. And so He says, I'll operate tomorrow. So they couldn't give me intravenous to put me out. So they had to do what you go to a dentist and put this mask on.
Yes.
And put that for 1.5 hour operation. I came out. He sat on my bed. My family there. A bowl of chicken with rice. And a koo drink, a large koo drink. And he said to me, Gary, drink and eat. The fear of 34 years not being able to swallow.
Just gone.
And you know how it went away? When I read those WhatsApps, I said to God, Lord, this can't be true of me. I want to see you and I want to die now. So please give me the grace to repent of all the things that you've lost patience with me, all the disappointment you have in me. I want to stand before you, clean.
Yes, Lord.
So I get a thought. He says to me, go to my word, to Psalm 9, verse 13 and 14. I had no idea what stands there. It says this, I, the Lord God of all comfort and mercy, have seen your suffering and have seen your pain from the men who hate you. When I read that, I knew those writings to me were not from Him.
They were not from Him.
I cried.
It was flesh.
Then He said, read verse 14. And I, the Lord God, have already lifted you above the gates of death, so that you will declare all my praises in the presence of the daughters of Zion, which means in His presence. When that scripture entered my body, hope, courage, peace.
Oh.
I've nearly picked up since the 12th of August, 20 kilograms. I'm going to give all my clothes away.
Oh, praise the Lord.
And the but honor my wife.
Yes, of
because
course.
When She's I so went beautiful. In, it was her birthday, the 12th.
Yes.
And she said, God spoke to her while I was laying in hospital. And the Lord said to her, I want you to offer your husband to me. Mm. And she said, Lord, we've been together 43 years. All the prophecies you've made, that must still happen. No. And God kept on. 4 to 3 hours. And you know, you can't weary God down. You weary yourself in trying to weary God down.
Yes, I think He's going to be happy when I
do. And then she said, Lord, you can have my husband, but I'd like to quote one scripture to you. You asked this of Abram and you gave him back. It's my birthday tomorrow. He's going in. Would you consider giving it back to me as a birthday present?
Oh, beautiful.
And he did.
And he did. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord, because you knew what you are going to be doing now on that farm.
You see, the Bible says God has prepared us for the works that He prepared for us before the foundation of the world to walk. But you know, we are so cocky that we really tell God, we're ready now for revival.
Yes.
Well, you lie.
That's right.
Only God knows when we're ready.
Yes.
And when we're ready, according to Him, we really feel disqualified.
That's
uncapable. And that's when He knows you're ready.
That's when He knows you're ready. I'm going to get very emotional now, but we have to take a break now. Guess what? It's Josh Groban with You Raise Me Up. Praise the Lord.
Rise on Cape Pulpit.
Thank you so much for being with us. It's been just so powerful, this whole interview. I cannot tell you, I have not been able to contain myself. Thank you for being with us this afternoon. And we know that we're going into an incredible time of celebration with our families and friends. And Gary has just shared the most phenomenal testimony of his healing and of hope and how God has got purpose in the wake of death, that He's got such a plan for our lives. And when we feel that we are coming to the end of something, financially, emotionally, physically, relationally, whatever it is, He has hope for us. He has hope for us. So Gary, just give us that last few minutes of hope for this time of the year. How can we just feel the excitement? I'm so encouraged now feeling just this joy coming over me and this peace of being able to trust and obey Him in this time for the new time, new setup that we are going into.
So Jacob says to Joseph, take me out immediately. That represents when someone dies, the Bible says, you're absent in your body and you're present with God.
Amen.
Joseph said, don't take me out until God gives you the exodus to leave. Which means all those who are alive at the second coming of Christ. So those who die in Christ, their bodies go to ash.
That's correct.
But the moment they breathe out that last breath, they're immediately in the presence of God. Like Jesus said to the guy on the cross, today,
praise the Lord for that.
You'll be with me in paradise.
Amen.
So, in death and in life, we have hope. So,
Amen.
Let me just show you something now quickly. Where there is faith, there is hope. Where there is hope, God expects us to exercise our faith.
Amen.
Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the convictions of things not seen. That's Hebrews 11:1. We have been born again into a living hope. Through, and that living hope takes you through all the things that you die. Your ambitions die.
Yes.
Your prospects die. Your anticipations die. Your plans die. God really knows how to promote you. But you cannot have a resurrection of power unless you're willing to die to something that's not producing anything in your life and not giving God any glory. And then it says this, we have been born again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I want to say something that's just coming up in my spirit now. So God in the Old Testament through Joseph said the bones throughout your captivity in Egypt 400 years, throughout the going into the wilderness twice, into that, the bones is a sign of the hope. That the promise I make to you, you will enter the promised land where you possess the covenant of the promises of God.
Lord.
Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and life more abundantly. That's it. But here's the thing. Joseph went in a casket because of his bones. We as Christians don't have any bones. We have an empty tomb. And Jesus Christ rose with a physical body, with all his bones, seated on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. So in the Old Testament, he encouraged them through the bones because his word is alive and active and powerful in the middle of the bones.
Amen.
But to us, he's given us an empty grave because the Bible said about Jesus, not one bone of his body will be broken.
Yes.
And then it says the following. It says here in 1 Peter 1:3, always be ready to give a reason for the hope that is in you. Paul always prays and says, may the eyes of your hearts be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which you've been called. In Ephesians 1:18, we've been called to a hope that does not disappoint us, does not embarrass us. One thought that I'd like to share with you. Today, Christians and people are suffocated by shame.
Yes.
Shame because of wrong consequences and decisions. Shame of what people put on you. The English language, shame on you. Shame, skam jou dood. Eh?
Amen.
The English just say shame on you. Afrikaans, skam jou dood. You've got to die.
Yes.
Eh? How many joking now? It's just the different languages.
Yeah.
How does God handle shame? What do you think?
You tell me.
I'll try. The Bible says, Jesus despised the shame, enduring the cross for the joy set before him.
Oh, Lord, thank you.
You don't get rid of shame through counseling or casting out demons. Hope
only
enables you to
him.
Endure. And shame cannot come and attach itself to you. Why? Because you're celebrating the joy set before you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
What is the joy? The joy of the Lord is your strength. Keep your eyes on Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith.
That's incredible.
When you look at Jesus and walk with him, because we walk by faith, not by sight.
Yes, Lord.
We don't walk by reasoning.
Yes.
But there's something about the Holy Spirit in us that cannot be challenged by the devil, cannot be thwarted by the devil, cannot be opposed by the devil.
We cannot be touched.
Because the Bible says, in Christ we are more than overcomers.
Yes, Lord.
The Bible says the seed is within us.
Yes.
Will prevent us from sinning.
Amen.
And so I think I'll say one more thought.
Yes, please.
I've enjoyed myself with you so much.
So have I. Wish the time was more.
This thing. We've been born again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And you know what I love? Is that we often have this consciousness that God is for us. David wrote by the Holy Spirit, I keep the face of God always before me. Mm-hmm. Now that word face in Hebrew means bahin, which means presence.
Yes.
So when he faced Goliath, he looked at him through the presence of God.
Amen.
Whenever you face something, if you face God, you can face anything in life.
Amen.
Bless
Amen.
You.
Praise the Lord. Thank you so much for being with us this afternoon, Gary. You've been such a joy and such an encouragement. God bless you in your ministry. Can't wait to see what you've got to share with us in the new year. We're going to have you back with the greatest of love and expectation.
Good.
And family and friends, just we will be meeting with you again next week, same time, same place. But just know that you need to go out there, stick to the rules. Love on your family. Invite those that are not going to be at your Christmas table. Go and love on them. Care for them. Ask people that are needing to be included in this time of the year. So thank you so much for being with us this year. And thank you for all your loving and encouragement. And we just know that we love and appreciate you so much. God bless, and we'll see you back next week. Goodbye.